My scriptures that I will use this morning come from the Christian Standard Bible translation. It's a one that I've been getting more and more into and like it more and more. So that was the reading, if you follow in yours, will be a little different unless you have Christian Standard Bible. I know there is one who does, and so I'll be on the same plane as one person, I guess, today. But Christian Standard Bible, so it'll be a little different reading from what you have, possibly. One thing. Maybe you've heard that before. Maybe you have used similar or exactly that term. One thing. Maybe you heard it from your parents. I want you to do one thing. Or maybe somebody says, well, I'll tell you one thing. Or I know one thing. And when you hear that in any of those situations or whatever situation it is, you probably immediately have a feeling of dread come up over you. Almost fearing what's going to come next. I've experienced that. I want you to do one thing. Oh no, I hope I can't guess what that is, because I just have an idea. And it's not good. It's not something I want to do. I'll tell you one thing, and I probably don't even want to hear it. Or I know one thing. I think, yeah, that's about all you know is one thing. So you hear that and you just fear what might be said following that. But if you could do one thing in this life, what would it be? Or if you could be one thing while living here, what would it be? Or if you could go one place, any place, where would it be? I would go home to my recliner. Or if you were granted a wish for one thing, what would it be? And I'll just tell you, just a side note, I can grant you a wish this morning. Any wish, I can grant you a wish. I just can't grant you the fulfillment of that wish. But I'll grant you the wish. And if you've been in the church any length of time, but especially way back, you used to hear this a lot. And you hear it from television preachers too. And I'm not just talking about within the Church of Christ, wherever you have attended or wherever you have heard the basis of sermons, if you listen long enough, you may hear this. The preacher will say, if you don't remember anything else from this sermon, remember this one thing. And I'm thinking, well, why did you bother me with all the other things? Just get to the point and give me that one thing that's so important that overshadows everything else. What are you going to take away from it? So, as frustrating as it can be to hear sometimes the words one thing, just in the process of daily life, you can also find those words in the scriptures, and sometimes they are heard with dread. Sometimes they're heard with fear. Sometimes they're heard with encouragement. So it varies a lot. So I want to present a few of those this morning and make some practical applications for us in those. First of all, and each time I change direction, it'll be a different color, so you'll know I'm going somewhere else. But Psalm 27 and verse 4. I have asked, David says, one thing from the Lord. Now, if you were going to ask the Lord, ask one thing of the Lord, what would it be? Wow. That just opens it up, doesn't it? But David says, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking Him in His temple. This shows what was of utmost importance to David. This, he picked out the most important thing that he could, seeking and serving the Lord. And oh, that that would be at the top of our list too. For every one of us. Is it? Answer for yourself. If it's not, I encourage you to make whatever changes you need to make. Determine what those changes are and then make them. We studied other scriptures that teach this same thing, haven't we? It's paramount in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and verse 3. And just sometimes we think that's the first time God commanded anything, but it's not. Go back to the Garden of Eden. And He gave Adam and Eve a command. Eat of anything, don't eat of that tree in the middle of the garden. But here, in Exodus 20, verse 3, do not have other gods besides me. No other gods but Him. Certainly this puts God in position of being first in importance. For He is the only true God. And I believe that anything that supplants God from that position can indeed become a god in your life. So be careful where you put God. Also in Matthew 6 and verse 33 and Matthew 27 and verse 22 and verse 37, the first one should be very familiar to you. We saw it nearly every service for a year last year. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seeking God first. Seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. In Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important or first commandment. In response to a question from the Pharisees, Jesus quoted that second one there in Matthew 22. And seems to me if this is the greatest and most important and first command, that we should have it as the one thing at the top of our list. Most important things, top of the list. And I hope you will all agree with that. You might recall David also wrote, I rejoice. Do I have that there? No. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. This would support David's one thing as well, wouldn't it? That he mentioned in Psalm 27. So it's true that many would rather dwell in sin all the days of their life, choosing to dwell in adultery, living with, or having extramarital relationship with a man or woman that is not theirs. Many would rather amass great wealth in this life than to lay up treasures in heaven for eternity. Many would rather be like the rich man who died and lifted up his eyes in torments and seeing Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. They prefer to have their reward now where they can enjoy it and touch it and taste it and feel it now. But a reward that cannot and will not be taken into the life to come, into eternity. So the bottom line, many prefer to dwell in error rather than follow the truth. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 speaks to this as well. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. When I look around today, I often apply that, the words of Isaiah, because they seem to fit. Substituting evil for good, good for evil. It seemed like so many things are just backwards from what they should be. And I apply that teaching, but it's nothing new. Isaiah wrote this in his day, what, 2,000-3,000 years ago. But the words still ring true today, don't they? Woe to them. Woe to the ones who do the same thing today. You don't want woes pronounced against you from God. People who want to do this miss the one thing that Jesus and David both say are the most important. So you can say, or rather can you say, I'll ask it. Can you say with David, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord? Can you say that? Did you think something similar to that this morning? Great, it's first day of the week. It's the Lord's day. I am going to worship the Lord. Or is it sometimes, I was glad when they said to me, let's go fishing. Or let's go hunting. Or let's go to the Panthers game. Or let's go to Carowinds. Or let's go to the restaurant and get there early before the crowd comes. Or let's take a weekend where we don't have to be interrupted by worship. I hope that's not you. I hope that when you decide to to travel somewhere, that that's one of the first things you do is to find where there is a church that you can meet with on the first day of the week, if that is when you are there. I know we have done that, and we have ended up places where we met people that knew people that we knew, and there was a connection there just on that basis. But there's, if they are worshiping properly and if they are teaching properly, there's always a connection. Don't ignore that. We need to do our part to make worship services desirable and enjoyable and acceptable. Mark 10, 21, another one thing here. Jesus is having a conversation with a man about eternal life. Important conversation, important question he asked. And this man thought to himself that he was doing pretty good. And when Jesus told him what he needed to do, that reinforced that. I've done all this stuff. Done it all. Thought he was doing very well until Jesus said, you lack one thing. And I can just feel his countenance fall. Oh, what is it? The dreaded words are coming, I know, because I've done so good. One thing. And I believe too often we focus on the many possessions this man had, because that's what was in his way. But also consider this before we go further with him. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 and 10. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, Some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. A lot to be considered in these verses. Paul has just addressed godliness with contentment. He said godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content with the things you have. If you can get to that point, you are ahead of the game, so to speak. Being content and having what's necessary for life. And now contrast that to those who want to be rich. And you think, well, I don't have that problem. I'm not rich. It doesn't say that. Those who want to be rich. Ever thought, man, I wish I was rich. I really want to be rich. All my problems will be solved. Your problems will just be beginning, probably. Those who want to be rich, that's those whose focus is there. He says, fall into temptation and a trap and many foolish and harmful desires. And he says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You see, it's not the money. It's the love of money. It's where your focus is. Where your desired end is, your desired things that you want to attain. So money in itself is not the evil thing, is it? It's a necessary economy, a commodity. We've got to have it. But that's not where our love should be found, as it can lead to evil things. Now, what could that possibly mean? Well, for starters, it can lead to allowing ourselves to turn from God and focus on more and more things and more money. That's why the lottery is so tempting, because if you win five, you think, well, I could win 10. And it just leads further and further into it and changes your focus. So it could lead to turning away from God. It could lead to covetousness, wanting more stuff. It could lead to even stealing. So it can lead to some bad things. So in Mark 10, when Jesus tells the man, you lack one thing, then he tells him to sell his possessions and give to the poor. Jesus is telling him, you've got to change your direction. You've got to change your focus from worldly things to spiritual things. And Jesus said that that will lead to treasure in heaven. And not only that, but Jesus is also saying that until he makes that change, he cannot be his follower. One thing you lack, and then it hurt. What a terrible thing to miss your heavenly home because you lack one thing. This man had done so much correctly. He was so close to being a follower of Jesus, but he missed it over his devotion and his love for the world, for worldly possessions. He wanted eternal life. After all, that's what he came asking. That's what he was seeking. He wanted eternal life. But he wasn't willing to do the requirements in order to have it. It's a sad story there. And we must note one thing there as well. If you go back and read that account, it says Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He loved him. Sometimes when you hear that one thing, sometimes what comes after it is said out of love. And sometimes the difficult things that are said because of great love. And that's where Jesus was with this man. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus' love didn't waver. But he had to teach him the truth of spiritual faithful living. So Jesus wants you to correct things that are hindrance to you, even if it's only one thing. Let's go again. John 9:25-33. We're not going to read that all because you just heard it from RD. I hope you were paying attention. So we're not going to read that, reread that, but here we see a man that was born blind. Have to go back a few verses to get that. But a man that was born blind to whom Jesus gave sight. Now, Jesus didn't restore his sight because he'd never had it. And to me, to be born blind, never having been seen, was a greater miracle to give sight to someone than it would be to say they lost their sight and Jesus just fixed that. He gave him sight he had never experienced before. He was born blind. What a miraculous and marvelous thing. And for some, it was unexplainable. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I love it when the man said, I told you already. You didn't listen. No, they listened. It wasn't the answer that they wanted. Then they said, well, this man's a sinner. God spoke to Moses, but we don't know where this man's from. Oh, boy. But this man rebukes them, basically, when he says, you're missing the important thing. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. But one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Well, I don't know if this guy had ever preached or taught or anybody, but he's doing it now. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. One thing I know, he says, I'm assured of this. I know I was blind. I know I was born blind. I know I've never seen anything, but now I do. And it's because this man's from God. I can say the same thing as this man. I might not know much about a lot of things, but one thing I know, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and through him I find the salvation of my soul. I strive to live within his will. He's the Lord of my life. I've confessed his name, putting on Christ in baptism for the remission of sins. And like the blind man, I was once in darkness, but now I see. So I've got, had 3 points, right? They say the perfect sermon has 3 points. This one has 4, so it's more than perfect. In Philippians 2, verse 13 beginning, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, reaching forward to what's ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. One thing I do. And when Paul says, forgetting what's behind, you might think, oh, he didn't do that because he's always bringing it up. But you know what? Paul didn't bring it up just to bring it up. Anytime he brought it up, he was teaching someone. He was leading them to God as he had been directed to God. That's why he rehashed his old life. That's why he rehashed his conversion, to lead others the way he was now going. He didn't hang on to it. He used it to the benefit of others. But he's saying, this is my focus, my intent, this is my goal, this is my all. One thing I do. Paul was getting on in age, and he was a prisoner, but he didn't allow that to stop him or diminish his zeal for the Lord. As I pursue as my goal. That's present tense for him. I am doing it now. I am continuing to do it. I pursue as my goal. He would not give up, but he was determined to reach his goal. His goal in Christ Jesus. In another place, David, in the scriptures, he says, he determined to know nothing among his hearers but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was his focus. That's what was the basis of all his teaching, and it should be for us. Jesus Christ and him crucified. We talked about his crucifixion some more this morning and the time after that. And how important that is. Without the crucifixion and the resurrection following, we would have nothing. But this was the center of his faith, and it's the center of ours. Without that, we have nothing but an earthly existence. Nothing but an earthly existence. No reward following this life. I think I've got that one in there twice. So, like Paul, sometimes we need to forget some things and continuously move towards the goal of eternal life in heaven. Maybe you need, or you have to have left, a group that has taught error or is teaching error. Maybe you need to leave that and follow the truth of the scriptures. Maybe you need to forget past hurts from the past. Hurtful things that people's done or said. Move on from those. Reach forward to love and forgiveness to others. Maybe you need to forget past mistakes that you have made and reach forward to repentance and forgiveness toward yourself even. Maybe you need to forget worldly riches and accomplishments like this man we talked about and move toward more service for God and Christ. You know, we're getting close to the end when it says in review. That's like the preacher saying, and finally, and everybody puts their coats on and gets their books and everything. But in review, one thing I have desired, to love the Lord and love worshiping him in truth and spirit. One thing you lack. If there is that one thing, whatever it is, whatever's amiss, correct it. One thing I know, salvation is only in Christ Jesus. One thing I do every day, press toward the goal of eternal life. It's about more than only 1 hour on Sunday. In fact, this 1 hour on Sunday is a very small part of what we need to have in our lives, because we got 167 other hours in the week. What are we doing with them? Our service is more than just this 1 hour. In fact, most of our service to God falls outside of this hour. We should be serving him every day. So if the one thing you lack is to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, let's study that. Let's move towards the knowledge of what's required as we all seek salvation. If you study to an understanding of God's plan and believe that He is, and you have repented and turned your life toward following Christ and have confessed Jesus before men, have been baptized to wash away your sins, baptized into Christ Jesus, I encourage you then to live faithful all the days of your life. If you want further study or want spiritual guidance or just to sit and pray together, let Vance or me know, or any member of the church here know. Let them know today. It's that important. May we pray for them.